Hey Shoujo fans, welcome to episode 59 of the Shoujo Sunday podcast. This week we'll be reviewing Oku the Inner Chambers episodes 7 through 10. It's finale time, let's dig in. Okay, first off, before we even get into this episode, we want to thank you all for your great response to our last Oku recap with Rachel, aka Shoujo Scholar, along with your response to our interview with Ryan Colt Levy from Chainsaw Man. Like, that's still kind of surreal.
I know, literally, like, cannot believe we got to do that and talk to him.
Yeah, like... What is life?
Truly.
But yeah, thank you guys so much. Please continue to share both, especially our interview with Ryan, because like it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess like we said, it's time to get into Oku and the finale. Here's our soft serve summary from Wikipedia, no edits, so say a prayer for me, y'all.
I'm praying. I got you.
Thank you. Okay. Both Arikoto and Imitsu grudgingly accept their destinies, and shortly thereafter, Imitsu becomes pregnant with Suetsu's child. She gives birth to a daughter, Chiyo, which pleases Lady Kasuga. However, Suetsu accidentally falls, becoming paralyzed and incapable of performing his duties. Lady Kasuga allows Imitsu to be with Arikoto again, but when, after 3 months, she does not fall pregnant, new grooms are brought in an effort to produce a male heir. Imitsu accepts the compromise, although she pledges her eternal love for Arikoto. Seeing how fulfilled Imitsu is as a mother, Arikoto even asks Gyokue to sleep with Imitsu. And that is our summary. Whew, okay, Gianna, do you have a theme?
Okay, I was determined to have themes this week. I don't know that this is really it, but honestly, I don't know if any of them are it, but I just wrote true love withstands anything.
Ooh, that's nice. Yeah.
Thanks. What do you have?
It's like a paraphrased quote, which y'all will be getting a lot of that from me this episode. Paraphrase quote from Imitsu, endure every obstacle and live.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That hits.
Yes. Especially for us. Like.
Yeah. Y'all don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but yeah.
Life gives you lemons and beats your ass at the same time, but you still have to make, lemonade.
Life gives you lemons, immediately takes them away and says good fucking luck.
Right? Yeah. But
sorry.
No, it's fine. We're trying our best. Shoujo Sunday we're doing what we can.
Yeah.
Do you have any sprinkle on top?
Okay, I should have gone back to this point in the episode so that I could actually get it right, but I just wrote what I could from memory. It was Kasuga or Imitsu or somebody said something about Tsutezo's name and what it meant, and something about it meaning like something and then discarded. And I'm like, wait, that's literally what's happening to him. He got her pregnant, and then they were like, well, what are we going to do with him plot-wise? Oh, let's just paralyze him so he just has to go away now. Like, he's gone. He's discarded.
Oh my gosh, I was so hurt. Oh yeah. My gosh, Suetsu, poor, yeah. poor sweet summer child. Oh my God.
Yeah, absolutely. This little, like, what was he, like 18? Oh my God.
Yeah. Or like, I think 20 by the end. Oh.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Oh, God. Either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. That is spot on. I'm glad you had a sprinkle on top. I don't think I'll have any for this podcast episode.
That's okay. I think I have a couple. I can't remember already.
It's okay. Let's move into Floats Your Boat. So I don't really have that much.
Me neither.
I'll say I like that. Like, I think Suetsu, when he first meets Imitsu, he's trying to put the moves on her because, you know, he's been sleeping around his little village and stuff.
Yeah, he's like the suave guy of where he's from.
Yeah, like the local Casanova. So
yeah.
He tries to put moves on Imitsu and she sets him straight and is just like, no, you do not have power in this bedchamber. I have the power. And I was just like, hear, hear.
Right. Right. She set him straight so quick and he did not know how to handle it.
At all. At all.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is one of your likes?
So I just loved to see Sutizo's reaction to having a daughter and how enamored he was with her. I just thought that was so, so sweet.
He loves her so much.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to keep it together. He loves his daughter. Like, you cannot, nobody could take that away from, because he was enamored, like, just beautiful. I love, like, daddy-daughter relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I felt like it was really a second chance for Imitsu because her first child was a daughter as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I thought the same thing.
Okay. And I... That's all my life.
Oh, okay. I mean, I could pretty much lump everything else into one other Floats Your Boat for this episode. It's just Imitsu's, I'm just going to call her Chie. It's so much easier to say for me.
Yeah, we can just do that. We're going to adjust to Chie, y'all.
Yeah. Chie's everlasting love for Arikoto, you know, despite everything that Kasuga is making her go through with bearing children with other men and like keeping her away from Arikoto, she still has these deep feelings for him. And she says, like, no matter how many men she makes me bear children with, my heart truly only belongs to you. And that's like, I think I'm paraphrasing that, but you know, something like that. So that's why my theme was true love withstands anything. Cause when you really truly care for somebody, that like that just trumps everything else going on. I mean, at least that's the way I see it. So, you know, I just loved seeing their everlasting love.
I think that her love for Arikoto was just so beautiful. And I know that it was something that he was anxious about.
Yes. Rightfully so.
Right. And it's like, I get it because I think that the positive influences that she had came from him. And so he was thinking like, well, if she loves somebody else, like what's going to be my place here? But
yeah,
I think what he didn't realize is that nobody took the time to actually speak to her and to get to know her as a person rather than what she represented other than him.
Yeah. He like treated her like a real person and not just his liege.
Yeah. And not just like a baby making person.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, I guess we can move into Banana Split.
Okay.
I was Banana Split when Susetsu first meets Arikoto and he's just saying straight to his face that he was brought to the Oku because somebody's tadpoles didn't work.
Yeah.
I was just like, ugh. Oh my God. Because like, I don't think that, until later, he didn't realize that it was Arikoto. And so it's just like, wow, that's a lot. That's heavy to just.
Yeah. Like, he absolutely didn't have to say that at all.
At all.
And honestly, my banana split is part of that whole scene. It's just that like, Arikoto is being so nice to him despite that. Like, he knows why he's here. And like, I'm not saying that I would rather him be mean to him. It's banana split because it's just such an uncomfortable situation. And honestly, Arikoto might be a better guy than me. I'd like to think I'd be able to like try and be nice. But like, it's really a lot to put aside the love of your life and, like, watching the person who's going to go sleep with them.
Yeah.
Oh my God, my heart.
It's like being quiet while somebody is cheating on you.
Oh my God, yeah.
And then having to take care of the fruit of that union that came from them cheating on you.
Oh my God. It's fucking brutal what he's gone through.
It's very hard. Yeah. Yeah, like, and I think, you know, honestly, it's the monk thing again.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are times where it just shows through, especially in these last few episodes, where it's just like, oh, he's a monk. And this is how. Because a regular person would have set Suzette Su straight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you can't just fine start coming around saying that sort of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Another thing that I had, and I think this was during the Suzetsu Chie love scene. Chie and Suzetsu, before they have their love scene, and she just takes off her clothes. And then Suzetsu's just like, she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And I'm just kind of like, I don't see it. Not to say that she's...
I love that that's why it's been asked for you. Respectfully, I disagree.
I don't see, like, she looks kind of regular. Like, what is different about her?
I mean, I agree. I mean, I can't say I, like, had eyes for her either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The animation could have been better to just signify how beautiful she was.
Yeah.
It's like somebody telling me in a story, this person is beautiful, and me just being like, I guess I have to believe them. Not to say that she's ugly either. It's like, I don't know, I feel very middle of the road about it.
Right, so. Right, yeah. I agree. I didn't feel any type of way. I'm like, oh, I guess that's what he thinks, huh? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the last one I have, I guess it's also just connected to Arikoto again and his feelings, is Gyokue brings food to Arikoto while Suzetsu and Chie are being intimate or are now together and stuff. And Gyokue opens the door and Arikoto fucked the place up.
That is rocky road for me, actually. So I'll...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the reason why I was banana split about it is because, like, I understood his frustrations. I don't know. At the same time, I kind of wish that he talked about it a bit more with Chie.
That's true. Yeah. I wish that instead of him, like, stubbornly, like, putting his head down and following orders, I do wish he would speak more openly with her. Because, like, they were together. You know, yeah. They loved each other. They had a casual rapport. They should be able to talk about things even if there's orders involved.
Yeah. And, like, I think even if they aren't sleeping together, that doesn't mean that he doesn't have to see her. Which I feel like in that it was like Kasuga was going too far.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I just wish that they had talked about it because it's just sad seeing how much he has had to give up. That even when it comes to his anger, he feels like he still has to disguise it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then in conjunction with that, after Chie has her baby, Chio, with Suzetsu, you just see this transition within Arikoto being like the most knowledgeable person about the Yoku and coming up with this celebratory dinner and stuff. And so it's like at one point we see how helpless he is because of the Yoku. And then in the next point it's just like, but he's the best at this, you know, he knows the most, he knows the rules and everybody's benefiting from it.
Yeah, it was interesting to see that amount of growth from him at the Yoku.
Yeah, yeah. But that's all I had for Banana Split. So let's move into Rocky Road. Do you want to take it away?
Sure. Yeah, I just have that one. And it's just it affected me because I've come to care for Arikoto very much as a character through watching this series and just seeing his unfiltered rage and depression. For the first time, like truly unfiltered, really hit me. He's unable to eat, knowing that Chie is sleeping with Tsutizo, and he's banned from ever entering her bedchambers, and he spends his nights dreaming of the day that they would die together. That just really hit me, you know, I really super felt for him.
Yeah. Because, like, even finding out that Ari Kodo couldn't have children made me feel bad, because it just, he was meant to be a monk for real.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He was meant to, because he can't even have kids, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not mm-hmm. supposed to when you're a monk. Or at least, I won't say that for now, but I think at the timing of this series and stuff, like, you're not supposed to have kids as a monk.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to have to give up on his dream, devote himself to Chie, not be able to give the exact thing that she needed, I felt so heartbroken for him.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah. And then I think the last Rocky Road I have is about Suzetsu, or Sutezu, Jesus Christ.
It's okay. All these names are really difficult.
What else? What was his female? Oraku.
Oh, right. Yeah. Just call him Oraku.
Because I do not mean to mispronounce people's names. I know what that feels like in real life.
Same. It's okay. It's coming from a good place.
Yeah. But for him, I felt so heartbroken for him. All he did was jump up and be so excited about having his daughter and being able to spend time with her and possibly being elevated, to quickly being paralyzed.
Yeah.
And losing his bodily functions.
That happened so fast.
Yeah. And then he can't even go home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
That shit broke me.
I actually put that in nuts, just because it happened so fast and it was so completely out of the blue that I was just entirely shocked. But yeah. It's absolutely very sad and heartbreaking, because he was such a sweet guy, apart from, you know, those initial comments to Ari Kodo. You know, he seemed like a fantastic father, and he was just so happy to be there and be raising a little girl.
Yeah, and I just felt so badly for him, because, like, he can't be excited. Like, are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
It was just sad. But yeah, do you have any more Rocky Road?
I do not.
Okay, let's move to Hot Fudge. Do you have any Hot Fudge?
I actually somehow do not have Hot Fudge for this episode.
Okay, I have one.
Okay.
Probably lukewarm fudge.
Okay.
Or maybe it's banana split fudge. So Ari Kodo asked Gyokue to have sex with Chie to create an heir.
Right. Why the fuck did I write that down? I think I just, like, I have a really rough time with Gyokue, so I think I just couldn't even make a note.
Like, you just shut it out.
exactly. Just blinders on for Gyokue. Yeah.
Like, I am done with this man.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Dead to me.
Dead to me. Yeah, so Gyokue, like, Ari Kodo knows how much Gyokue does not like Chie. And so to me, it's just like, yes, she needs to have children, but why are you volunteering him instead of asking her if she would consider having sex with him in the first place?
Right. Were they able to talk at that point? Yeah, because they had like 3 months, right, after Sutezu?
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, that's weird.
He was taking care of Sutezu. The other guy, Onatsu, came. And, like, for whatever reason, Ari Kodo felt a way about Onatsu. But it's like, who cares? Like, if she has a child with Gyokue, what does that change for you?
Right.
It's weird to me because, like, Gyokue is so devoted to Ari Kodo. Like, why? It was a lot.
Yeah, and Ari Kodo knows what he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really weird, the whole situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I really didn't like it. But that's all I have for Hot Fudge, so let's move into Ice Cream You Scream. Do you have any?
I have one, but I'm pretty sure I've talked about this on the last episode, so I didn't want to elaborate. It's just kind of the obligatory Kasuga treating Chie as a baby factory.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all I have.
I think, of course, like, it's just based off of this episode that I just said, oh, it would be better if Chie made rules that helped women taking over their families outside of Oku.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other minor one, but we already talked about it, was Sutezu or Oraku getting paralyzed to be put out of the picture.
Like, yeah, they really just said, what do we do with him for the plot? Ah, okay, this.
Yeah. But that's it for episode 7, so let's move into episode 8. Here is our soft serve summary. The countryside is stricken by drought, causing widespread famine, and many people head toward Edo in search of food. Chie travels outside the castle walls and sees how desperate people have become, especially due to the shortage of young men. She orders rice to be temporarily provided to those in need, not necessarily to save them, but to prevent a peasant uprising. During an annual celebration, when the feudal lords pay homage to the shogun, it is obvious that many do not have male heirs and have brought their daughters dressed as men. Masamori proposes that for the time being, women be allowed to become successors, much to the horror of Lady Kasuga. However, he argues that it will prevent a reduction in the number of families, which could concentrate power in a few powerful ones, which may become a threat to the Tokugawa clan. And that's our summary. Do you have a theme?
Again, it's a forced theme. It'll make more sense when I go through my flow-through vote. Mm. I said, if you have the means, and times have been hard, or even if they've been good, treat yourself.
Yeah. You might as well.
Yeah, you should.
Times are changing, and customs should change too.
That's much more appropriate, and I like that.
Thank you. Any sprinkle on top?
No. I tried to like look up stuff beforehand, but it did not work out.
It was not hidden. Yeah. It was not hidden. Yeah. It's okay. I guess let's get into Floats Your Boat then.
Okay.
I was glad to see Chie actually walking amongst the people to see the famine firsthand.
Yeah. I think that it goes to show that she is very dedicated to her work and the people, so that she can see what's going on firsthand rather than people just reporting back to her, even though she's supposed to not leave like her certain wing of the Yoku. Like, she's risking whatever like backlash she would get from sneaking out just so that she can see things firsthand, and I really admire that.
I admire that as well, because I think that it was high time for Chie to kind of get from under Kasuga's thumb.
Yes.
And so her being able to look at the people and witness what was going on made it easier for her to decide what could happen next.
Yeah.
And I feel like because Kasuga is such a pick-me and just being like, it's about men, that she was trying to, in a way, like, usurp Chie's power by being like, it's all about what the representatives say. But, you know, Chie's a very wise person, too. And so she can come up with solutions as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. What is one of your likes?
So my next like is when Masamori suggests that women should be allowed to be successors, if even just for the time being, while the pox is raging on. Mm. I'm glad that somebody finally said it, essentially.
Yeah, because it's like, Kasuga already did it with Chie. So to me, it's like, why do you think it's going to be different in the outside world?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes sense, you know? If there's a shortage of men and there's plenty of very capable, able-bodied women, then they should also be allowed to be successors.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. If Chie can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is kind of funny to me.
Okay.
I was trying to compartmentalize this, but it's when Gyokue has to have sex with Chie. And okay. So they're in the room together, and Gyokue is saying that he doesn't care if he pleases her or not, since he only cares about Arikoto.
Gyokue is so gay for Arikoto, it hurts.
Right, like, oh my god.
Since day one, like...
The dedication is real, but
right.
At the same time, like, I guess Chie was able to appreciate his candor. She's just like, I only care about Arikoto as well. We're a kin spirit. Let's have sex.
Let's fuck for his sake.
Yes.
God.
It's like, for Arikoto.
Oh my god. Oh no, they're both thinking about him. Like,
Yeah. Wow. But yeah, I have that. I think I have one last floater boat. Do you have more?
I just put, Arikado really said we deserved a little treat, so I made sure we had a little treat with the chrysanthemum viewing. Like, I just love that he was like, yeah, no, like, this is just something we all kind of deserve to do. I forget exactly, like, what he, like, how he worded it and, like, how it went down, but I was just like, damn, I love that he made sure that they all got to, like, take a breather and just, like, look at the flowers for a minute. Literally, like, a stop and smell the roses moment.
Yeah, it was nice to see Arikado just advocate for the men in the Yoku.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, like they deserve nice things. They should be able to look at the flowers. And I used my own money, so she couldn't complain.
Exactly.
Or she shouldn't be able to complain.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I lied. I said I had another floater boat, but that is so banana split.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
My last floater boat was me truly thinking in this episode that Karasuke died.
Right? Oh my gosh.
I'm so violent for this whole series.
She fell down. I was like, ooh, hallelujah.
I literally wrote, ding dong, the bitch is dead.
No, I think I made that one of my themes.
No.
In one of the episodes.
Oh, I love
it. Like, I was like, I think it was like, ding dong, the witch is dead. Like,
oh my God. Fantastic.
Probably in the next one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I think it is the next episode, but I did put a few question marks at the end. So it was like, ding dong, the bitch is dead. Like, very excited, but not sure. But just to see it start to happen was felt like the long-awaited thing like we were talking about with Rachel last time, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just nice to see it.
Yeah,
happening.
Nice to see it come to fruition.
After all this time, yeah.
Just in time for the chrysanthemums, okay? We got some for the grave. Like, let's go.
Oh my God, right? It's also like the long-awaited love confession, but in a really dark way.
In the darkest of way. Like, oh my gosh, we're all free, but we weren't.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move into Banana Split. What is one of yours?
Okay, I only have one, and I just put that I found it funny that Gyokue wants to be liked by Chie more than Onatsu, but less than she likes Arikado. So he has these like very specific parameters on how much he wants her to like him. And I find that really funny, and it would be Floats Your Boat, but I can't put Gyokue in Floats Your Boat, so yeah.
Yeah. No, makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense.
I also love that she snapped back and she was like, you can't tell me how to act.
Right. Because I was just like, come on, Gyoku, you're doing a lot.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Who knows if you're even good at it? Like,
right. God.
But yeah, I think I had Arikado remembering a monk saying that Gyokue is going to be the father of a ruler.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. It was. It also becomes an unsolved mystery. But we'll get to that in another episode.
Yep.
But I was just like, so a random monk tells you, like, it reminds me, you know, like when somebody, like that phrase of like, oh, if your friend jumps off a bridge, does that mean you're supposed to jump off of a bridge?
Yeah, yeah.
So some random person tells you, oh, you're going to give birth to the next ruler. And you just believe that shit?
Right.
Like
ah, this is truth.
No. And it ended up not being, like, well, we don't know, actually. But still, like, I thought that was a lot to just be like, yeah, go have sex with her. Because a random monk in passing said you would give birth to a ruler.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, they don't like each other. And if Chie knew the full extent of what Gyokue did, I think she would be pissed.
I could not stop thinking about that. I'm like, she has no idea. I'm like, if she knew, there would be a sword through his chest in a second.
For real. For real. I think the last thing that I have is sort of combined is, so Chie says, give out rice porridge for 7 days to stop a potential revolt. And my thing is, what happened to the famine after that?
Right. It just kind of goes unaddressed. I guess we're just supposed to assume it's happening in the background until we get exposition about it in episode 10 that, oh, it's fine now.
Right. I just thought it was, because I'm just like, okay, it's after the 7 days, then wait. People are gonna still be hungry.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make them revolt more? To be like, why would you give me food for 7 days?
Right.
And then now I can't have the food?
Yeah, like, what are we supposed to do after those 7 days? Like, you can't just give the minimal relief and be like, well, I did my part.
Yeah.
They can't complain.
Yeah. It was very crazy.
Yeah.
But that's what I had for Banana Split. Do you have any more?
No.
Okay, let's move into Rocky Road.
Okay, I just have one, and I didn't flesh it out. It's just the entire situation with the famine and them being able to smell the burning bodies from the Oku, you know. It's just devastating. I hate to imagine, like, trying to put myself in the shoes of all of those people. I just, like, truly can't imagine how brutal that is.
I think it's, like, so messed up. I mean, seeing it animated, but then we're also seeing it in real life, too, and stuff, with all of these different genocides going on. People dying of starvation is the most heartbreaking thing.
Yes.
I just, it's another time I felt undone, because it's, like, especially when they start off this episode and you just see this boy, like, shaking his mother, who's clearly dead.
Oh my god, yeah.
And then the boy ends up dying too. And they're like literally skeleton. It's so sad.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I have for Rocky Road as well.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have any hot fudge?
Surprisingly, no. Do you?
No.
Oh, well. Wow.
Right? You know, I'm usually mad about something, but not this time.
Oh, it's okay. We're both going to probably be mad later.
Right. True. Okay, let's move to Ice Cream, You Scream.
Okay, so mine was just when Chie was walking around town and she sees the men with STDs working in the Pleasure District.
Oh.
I was just like actually screaming because that's so, I'm actually like cringing in my seat right now. I can't think about it. So yeah.
Makes me want to rip my skin off.
Yes. Like, yes. Like, oh, chemical God. Peel of my entire body.
Just no, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, let's just, yeah.
Let's move
let
on.
Let me say mine. Before I get nauseous.
Yeah.
I have, it's about Kasuga. So mine is that she needs to get with the times because she was kind of going a little too hard about the chrysanthemum viewing because it's like not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And then I think in general, her going head to head about this viewing was as stupid as it gets, because how is them looking at the flowers bothering anybody? Like, she's so nasty on the inside.
Really? She's just like a terrible person.
Absolutely terrible. Yeah. Yeah. But I guess that is it for episode 8. Okay, Oku episode 9. Here's our soft serve summary. Lady Kasuga becomes gravely ill, creating a power vacuum in the Oku. Surprisingly, Arikoto steps in to care for her while Chie considers the political implications. Sutezu succumbs to the red face pox, causing severe implications for the Oku, so Arikoto quarantines the infected men in Lady Kasuga's rooms. Meanwhile, outside the castle, the pox claims the lives of 4/5 of the adult male population. In a desperate bid to maintain order, Chie proclaims a notice preventing the buying and selling of land, and that women can become family heirs to prevent the growth of powerful landholders. Before she dies, Lady Kasuga tasks her son, Murase Masasuke, with recording the events in the Oku in what she names the Chronicle of the Dying Day, and names Arikoto as her successor. Arikoto names Masasuke as the chief scribe, Katsuta Yorihide as usher of the purse, Nishina Kiyonari as bearer of the key, and assigns other roles to the men in the Oku. In the greatest departure from the past, Chie reveals herself publicly as the first female shogun. And that's our summary. Okay, Gianna, do you have a theme?
It's dark. I didn't know what to put. And, I've had a week, but, you know, we're not. Yeah. Anyway, so it was something that Ari Koto said when he was, like, helping Kasuga. And just because of, like, this episode weighs a lot on death and dying and stuff, I put, you know, like, all of our times will come eventually.
Right, yeah.
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 Sorry, it's so dark.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true, our time is gonna come, whether we want it to or not.
Right.
So, yeah, I have see things through till the end because it's our duty to. I think that was a paraphrase quote from Chie.
Okay.
And then, like I said earlier, ding dong, the witch is dead.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, because fuck Kasuga.
God, yes.
Trashy bitch.
Yes.
Okay. Any sprinkle on top?
No, I only had the one, I think. I thought I had a couple, but I think that's the only one I had for this finale episode earlier.
Okay. No, that's fine. I don't have any sprinkles, though.
So. Okay.
Yeah. Y'all are just getting the ice cream raw, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move into Floats Your Boat. This is so morbid.
Oh, God.
I put Kasuga choking. I am not shit.
Like, because of, like, the opening sequence?
Yeah. I was like, ooh, leave.
Oh, see, it's I also wrote something about that, because the narration was like, on the 10th day of the 9th month, the honored Kasuga suddenly fell ill and became bedridden. And I put in all caps, literally, sleep in the bed you made, bitch.
Right. Yes. Please. Get out of here. Get out of here, girl. Yeah. I'm sick of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was just the petty version of ourselves for this episode.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. What is one of your likes?
So all of mine are really reactionary for this episode, it looks Same. Like. So this is later in the episode. And I'll have more to say about just like the I can only think of the word relationship right now between Ari Koto and Kasuga during this time. I'll say more about that in Banana Split. So it was just the moment that they had when she was like, please don't tell Chie I didn't take the medication. It wouldn't have prolonged my life by very long. And he's just like in that super like, bro, I got your back way. Like, what do you mean? I haven't seen anything worth reporting. I'm right. Just like, damn, what a guy. So I just put that in Floats Your Boat because I thought that was very, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think I can only think of very bro of him right now. Sorry, guys, for my brain. But yeah.
No, it's OK. It's like he's a stand up guy, honestly.
Yes. Yeah.
And I like how I think in connection with yours, too, that I have about Ari Koto is that he says that there's no shame in aging, which is true.
Yes. Yeah.
It happens to all of us, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, like, needing help doesn't mean you're any less of a person. So I like that he told Kasuga that, even though low-key Kasuga could have just been left into her waste, but that's just me not yes. liking her. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also I felt that Ari Koto was once again leaning on his monk roots and taking care of not only Kasuga, but the other people that had red face pox. I was like, oh my God, what?
Right. Yeah, I was so taken aback by his unwavering courage and care for these people that he would put them before his own life.
Yeah.
He's just incredible. I love Ari Koto so much.
Me too. Me too. Yeah.
The next Floats Your Boat I have is just Kasuga dies less than three. I'm sorry.
I was so sick of her. I was like, ooh.
Oh my God. Yeah. Ooh,
girl, and the fact is, because I also put that because I'm not shit. So first of all, I put that Kasuga was 65, but she looked like life beat her ass because she...
Wait, stop. Where did I put that? I put it in nuts. I thought she was like 80. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, my mom looks like a supermodel compared to, she does look like a supermodel. My mom is gorgeous, guys, by the way. I love her.
Right.
But I'm like, 65? Like, no.
She looked 80 plus. I literally have that in writing, Gianna. I was like,
Oh my god.
A hard 65 because you were a mean person.
Right, she deserved to look like 20 years older than she actually was.
Yeah, yeah, because of how she treated people and stuff.
Yes.
But yeah, what else do I have? Oh, Sutizu being buried with respect.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because he deserved.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think I just have one last like.
Me too.
I have Chie revealing herself as the female shogun gave me chills because of like the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, that was an amazing moment. That's essentially what I have too. Mm. I just loved her official inauguration and getting to not be cosplaying as a man anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, it's been a woman this whole time.
Yeah, yeah. And it also seemed like things just like... I'm sorry, this is... I'm really gone on for Kasuga. But, like, things, like, everything seemed to get better after she died, right? Or is that just me?
No, no, I fully agree. Everything got so much better after she died.
Everything was so much more smooth.
Yeah, because she just made life difficult.
Yes, she did.
But it doesn't have to be. Yeah.
No, no.
So, moral of the story, if life is getting difficult, Kasuga died. So... things are going to get better. Like, that's really fucked up. Oh my God.
No, it's like, if things are difficult, find what the Kasuga is in your life and eliminate it.
Right. Yes. Yes. Shoujo Sunday PSA.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah. But okay, I guess let's move into banana split. Do you have any?
My first banana split is, again, like something that I could have put into Floats Your Boat, but... it's just like, Arikoto, again, is a much better man than me. Mm. The way he brings Kasuga water and lifts up the cup for her and he's carrying her to the bathroom. And after everything she put him through, he still takes care of her in her dying days. I'm just banana split about it because of everything that she put him through. But he's just so amazing.
Yeah. I think him nursing her was... karma in a way, because she did so many bad things to him, but he's the only one that's willing to be there for her and support her. And it's just kind of like, you should feel ashamed of yourself for doing so much harm to such a nice human being.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I was banana split on it just because it's like, Kasuga led a very long life for somebody who brought so much harm to so many people.
Yeah,
I don't know how to feel about it, because, like, I know in an earlier episode, I was just like, I'm surprised that Chie didn't kill her.
Right. Same.
Off the basis of her killing your mom. Like, okay, die. Like, once I get a certain, like, level or whatever, like, oh, you're out of here.
Right. I'd be training every day. And then once I was ready.
Yeah. My headcanon would be that the medicine that Kasuga was hiding to get better was actually just poison to make it go faster.
Right. Okay. Also, wait, while we're in banana split, I just thought of, was it this episode when they were talking about like poison testing food?
Yeah.
And then they don't put it anywhere else in the plot. It's just something that happened. I was waiting for somebody to get poisoned for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with anything. That could actually probably be Ice Cream You Scream for me, because yeah. I'm apparently very mad about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's confusing as well.
I don't think it was this. I think it was the one before it, because Chio was just born.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But still, it's just kind of like they introduce that and they never get back to it. And it's like, why did you introduce it if you aren't going to solve it? Or is it foreshadowing? Like, what are you doing here?
Right. It served no purpose but to take up our time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just kind of like, headcanon, she's trying to poison her. And then, but no.
Yeah.
We don't ever know that. So.
Yeah.
Oh, Gyokue deciding that Chie is phenomenal was development I didn't need.
Yes, I agree.
No, you can continue to hate her. I mean, I know that's kind of uncomfortable because you're like bumping uglies, but like, it's a lot, because he was the most adamantly against her this whole time. And then it was just like, she's phenomenal. And I'm just like, what? Okay.
Right. It was a lot easier when it was just like, we're both doing this for Arikoto.
Yeah.
I just have one more.
Okay.
I just found it really, really funny. And it kind of took me out when Kasuga's literally on her deathbed and she's like, I want you, what's his name, Masasuke, the son, yeah. I want you to do these journal records for, you know, the foreseeable future. And she's like, what should I call them? Chronicle of the Dying Day. I'm like, okay.
Like, she's so dramatic.
It's so fucking dramatic. I'm like, it's not like a mixtape, you know, or like a novel.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought that was honestly pretty funny, the way that the name came about.
She just is like, it's going to be the end. It's over. There's no male heir by the time I'm dead. It's all done. And it's like, no, you're just stuck in your ways, Kasuga.
Yep.
But yeah, I have Banana Split because I don't like her, but her suggesting Persimmons, you're right. Persimmons to Sutezu to get him to eat when he was dying of the pox. I thought that was kind.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
But I don't like her, so I didn't put in Fletcher Pot.
I entirely understand.
Yeah. And then I think the last one that I have is another, like, you never see this come to fruition, but you never get to see Gyokue or Chie confront Arikoto about, like, taking care of the people that had the red face pox.
Right, yeah.
And that feels very out of character for the both of them.
Because there's no way they didn't know about that. I can't remember this very second.
Right. And so for me, I'm just kind of like, they would have protested. They would have gone crazy. And you don't see that happening. And that felt very weird.
Yeah. The pacing got really bad at the end.
It did.
Yeah. But that's definitely more Ice Cream You Scream.
Yeah. But I guess we can move into Rocky Road.
Okay.
So what is one of yours?
Both of mine have to do with Sutezo, of course.
Yeah. I'm sure we have the same ones.
Yeah, very, very sad to see Sutezo pass away from the pox. And the fact that he wanted to see his daughter's face one more time, that really super broke my heart. And then the narrator says something like, it was a short-lived life, barely more than 20 years.
Yeah.
That's so short.
So when you see Arikoto walking in the hallway, and then all these people are like, we can relieve you. We can relieve you. One of my family members got the pox. I can do it. We can relieve you. And meanwhile, I was mentally thinking, oh, is he going to go get Chio? I was thinking it. And then he's just like, no, he's gone. I'm like, oh my God, he didn't even get to have his final wish. Like, ooh.
Right. Like, he couldn't even have that much.
Oh, it hurt me so bad. And it's like, you find out through Sutezo talking to Arikoto that after he became paralyzed, other than Arikoto, nobody visited him.
Right. That my other Rocky Road is Sutezo being so grateful for Arikoto's kindness to him, knowing that he could so easily have been hated by him.
Yeah. And, like, they were both crying, and I was crying because they didn't visit him. Like, okay, even if Chie can't go do stuff with him, you mean you can't bring the baby?
Right. That super sucks. That actually makes me kind of mad, you know?
Yeah. Because you can't catch disability. So, like,
no.
I don't know why they didn't just bring, because that was the one thing that brought him happiness, even before he got paralyzed. And it's like, you can't show him the baby?
Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it just hurt a lot. Do you have any nuts points? Because I have one.
I do. I have two.
Okay.
My first one is just red face smallpox in Edo Castle, in all caps.
Yeah. Because, like, how did they quarantine that?
Again, I wish we knew, like, the resolution.
Right. Because I'm just kind of like, so what did y'all do to make sure that that didn't happen again?
Right. They just put them all in the room with Casca, and then, like, it was okay. Like, I don't know.
Because, like, okay, like, can you catch it from dead bodies? So how did they get the bodies out? It is very confusing.
Very, yes.
The one that I have is the fact that, okay, so the very first episode of Oku,
yep,
is this prequel, right? And you get to see this old scribe that had black eyes. And so finding out that old man with black eyes was Kasuga's son, like, broke my mind.
Yeah, I have that too. That was my other nuts point. I liked that it was tied together
But I'll wait for like ending comments on the next episode. Right. But yeah, it was really, really cool to see that connection.
Because I'm just like, how is this bitch still alive? Like, what? What?
Must be something in those genes, I guess.
Right? Like, just the stubbornness of, I don't know. No, because he lived longer. He was like 90 something, I think.
Yeah. Maybe without the stress of Kasuga around, he was able to live longer.
A long life. Like, yeah.
I'm so unhinged this week.
No, it's fine. I mean, we usually are unhinged on finales.
Like, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any hot fudge? Because I don't.
I don't. I have one ice cream you scream.
Okay. I have two.
Okay.
One of mine is that the animation choices got weird.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The kissing again was weird.
Yeah.
Like, release me from this torment.
Honestly.
Yeah.
My ice cream you scream is about Yajima, who is Chie's wet nurse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I hated that she was forced to take care of Kasuga when she was hired to be a wet nurse and not a bedside attendant.
Yeah. I don't think that that's fair, you know, like.
Not at all.
I mean, to be honest, I know that Kasuga at one point told her son to stop talking to a corpse. I'm like, damn, bitch. But I know she told him that. But if there was anybody that should be her bedside attendant, you would think it would be her own child.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah.
You would think he would insist, even.
Yeah. Yeah. The last ice cream you scream that I have is the fact that Chie wasn't interested in Sutezu, like, in the end.
Yeah.
Because Arikoto had to go report about the fact that he had died. And so seeing her response to that kind of made me slightly understand Arikoto's anxiety, because Sutezu was the father of her first living child. Well, not living child, but like the first one that stayed living, like healthy.
Yeah.
And so you would think that she would care more. Like, she even renamed him to be Oraku, and he gets paralyzed. And then now he just doesn't see her. Not that he, but it doesn't see the daughter either. So I just didn't like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But okay, I guess it is finally finale time.
Yes.
So, let's get into Oku episode 10. Here's our soft serve summary. Chie oversees a new regime where women can become feudal lords and hold positions formerly reserved for men as a temporary measure to preserve the Tokugawa shogunate. She dismisses 100 of the least skilled samurai from the Oku to work in the Yoshiwara red light district while retaining the most experienced fighters as her guards. She decrees that the groom of subsequent shoguns must be selected from within the Oku, and that he then must be put to death for defiling the shogun. This is the institution of the secret swain. She appoints Arikoto as Lady Kasuga's successor to the position of senior chamberlain. After giving birth to two daughters, one from Gyokue, the other from Onatsu, she has two miscarriages and dies at the young age of 27, leaving Arikoto to watch over her daughters, especially her eldest, Chio. The percentage of men gradually increases to 3/4 of the population, but their main responsibility is fathering children, while women still shoulder most of the responsibility of physical labor and trade. Chio then becomes Ietsuna, the fourth shogun of the Tokugawa clan. And that is our summary. I will admit, these summaries are not, they're kind of meandering, but it is what it is, y'all.
It's all right.
Do you have a theme? Because unfortunately, I don't for this episode.
Chica, I wrote, the end, I guess.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have any sprinkle on top?
I don't. I didn't have it in me.
Same. Okay. Let's move into Float Your Boat.
Okay.
I like that now that, you know, Kasuga is dead, and this is before Chie dies.
Sorry.
This is the way I found that into a like, where she's not even in this episode.
Exactly.
But now that Sasuke is dead, before Chie dies, I like that after she unveils herself as like the female shogun, that she's able to bring other feudal lords, like female feudal lords, into the same position as her. And they have male names just like her, which was nice because it's kind of like this is... I think she wanted to have this type of community all along and not to be this weird outlier. And so it's good that she was able to see that before she passed.
Yeah, yeah. I essentially have that too. And I love that there's, you know, no objections to the female shogun and all that. It was just nice to see things seeming like they're going in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is one of your likes?
I guess piggybacking off of that, you know, the population problem with the... you know, there being fewer men to women is becoming less drastic. And they say that the rice harvest was better that year. So the famine's getting under control. All my likes are very, like, basic. My other one is, I guess, you know, now that Kosuke's dead, Arikoto gets her job. That was nice to see. You know, if anybody deserves to be honored and in the highest role of the Oku, I think it's Arikoto.
Yeah, and he's the only concubine in their history to ever be promoted in that way.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but it's good because it's like he meant something, so.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. I liked that they had the creation of agricultural tools that made life easier for the women outside of the Oku.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Yeah, because like they were doing the best that they can. And it was just nice to briefly see something sort of going their way.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
My last floats your boat is just Arikoto as Chio's dad, essentially.
Yeah.
That was just a very sweet bond to see.
Yeah. She's so cute. Just goes up to him. It's just like, can we play? And I was like, whoa.
Yeah. So, so sweet.
Yeah, and it's like he is the dad because both of her parents are gone. And, oh, it was so sweet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last one that I had, too.
Okay. And I do not have any banana splits somehow. I think I put all my confusion into hot fudge.
Okay. I have a couple of banana splits.
Okay.
Okay, so one, I said, Chie sending 50 Oku men to be whores and then 50 to guard them so that they don't escape is crazy.
I have that in Hot Fudge.
Oh, yeah.
I'm okay if that was, like, something they would be, like, interested in doing as a job, like, outside of the Oku, but to just be, like... you have to go work in the Pleasure District and, like, essentially guarding them in so that they can't escape is so fucking brutal.
It's really demonic, especially after we saw the episode where some of the people had STDs.
Yes, yes.
And it's just, like, what did they do to deserve, like, some of them are gonna die just because, like, ugh.
And I understand that, like, repopulation is a huge issue at this time, but you can see that there are men who don't mind that type of work and, like, may possibly enjoy it. Like, we've seen, you know, with Sutezu and Senpeita from, we saw that, like, a few clips of that, you know, other, like, working family, you know, so there are people who enjoy that type of work, and just to be forced into it in a town where there are known STDs, like, oh, God. So I'm so upset. I'm so upset.
Me too, because they didn't deserve that.
No.
They deserve so much more.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I just feel bad, because, like, I don't think all of them were bad people. Their life just ended up that way, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I have also... Chie requesting Arikoto in her bedchamber and then crying feels like a lot. She's been in charge for a while. What's this response? Yeah, so the last time, I guess it's the last time that she requests that he comes to her bedchamber.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, please stop doing it. But to me, it's like when she does this grand thing of like, I'm so emotional, I'm crying. It doesn't make sense because Kasuga has been dead, right? So I don't know. Not that she can't be overcome. The crying jag part didn't make sense to me. It didn't quite click.
Right. I'm trying to remember exactly the full context of the scene because I have part of it in my Rocky Road, but I'm like, kind of forgetting exactly what they were talking about prior to that. It's that, like, she kind of wants to be with him, but he can't bear her still trying to make, like, a male heir, right? That's kind of, that was it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, I feel like
that's banana split as well, but.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, without Casca there, I don't think she should be pushing her body to that limit. You know, I think she's had, what, 3 children now? I think she should be like, I had 3 girls. We literally just made it so that women can be successors. I made successors. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand why it was, like, still an issue with Casca gone and these new laws in place.
Yeah. I wonder, would she have not died so soon if she had just gotten back with Arikoto at that point?
That's another one of my hot fudge things, that I fully believe that Chie died at 27 because she was treated like a male heir factory.
Yeah.
I think that if she stopped after her 3rd child and got to enjoy her life with Arikoto as the father, essentially, that things would have been entirely different.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. I just...
Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. I think for her to be gone so soon, it, like, Chio wasn't even that old yet. Like,
right. That's 3 children without, just entirely orphaned.
Yeah. Yeah. He was saying that it was hard for him, but, like, it's hard for her.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then I feel like, I think he was just saying that. I think he did have an issue with her being with other people, but it's not like that would have been her choice, you know?
Yeah.
And Gyokue was his fault. So.
Right. He straight up asked Gyokue, right? So.
Yeah.
It's difficult. I have Arikoto's feelings in Rocky Road.
Mm.
But I absolutely understand why it's complicated.
Yeah, I do. I get it.
Yeah, it's like they both had their own pain for valid reasons, in my opinion.
Yeah. And then the last thing that I have in Banana Split is Gyokue becomes a monk after Chie's death. What?
Right. Like.
Like. And then he becomes the monk of the place where they were supposed to go in the first place, the Keisho Inn.
Yeah. So it's like he just pressed the reset button. Like it all never happened.
So for me, what didn't make sense with that is that Gyokue went to the Oku because he was devoted to Arikoto.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
So if he's devoted to Arikoto and Chie dies, he knows that Arikoto still doesn't have anybody outside of these side babies. So,
yes.
Including his own baby.
Uh-huh.
So why are you leaving?
Right. And doesn't he say, like, super early on that, like, he wasn't even devoted to Buddha? He was devoted to Arikoto?
Yeah.
So this is just extra confusing.
It didn't make any sense to me. Like, was it by force? Like, okay, you don't like Chie, but that is still your daughter. Don't you like your daughter? It's very confusing.
Very confusing. Like, I know technically it's like, I guess he doesn't have to play the role as dad, but you know, at least Tsutizo is like an active parent. I fucking hate Gyokue. I can't.
I'm just trash, like a trash human being. Like, how you left your child?
Yeah. Yeah, like no strings attached.
Like, so the reason why Arikoto made Gyokue and Chie get together was because some random monk said that his child was going to become a ruler. Chio, who becomes Ietsuna, is not Gyokue's child. That's Suzetsu's child, which is well-deserving.
Yes.
But, like, I... Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I hope that when or if Gyokue's kid inherits becoming the shogun, that some way, somehow, Gyokue faces repercussions just for all the shit he's done.
For real. Like, what is, like, why, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm undone.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Okay, do you have any banana split?
I'm good now.
Okay, so let's move into Rocky Road.
Okay. I'll just get the Arikoto one out of the way because we were just talking about it. I feel for Arikoto because he wants 100% of Chie, and if he can't have all of her, he can't really bear only having part of her. He loves her so deeply, and I feel for that. You know, like, I understand, like, she's also hurting, too, and I feel for her as well. More recently, I should cut this, I have felt more similarly to Arikoto, so I think that is why it hits so hard, you know, having one's heart broken. So, yeah, I just made me sad to see it.
I think what hurts about Arikoto for me is that even when they're gone, he never gets to be free.
Right? Yeah.
There's just something so depressingly sad about it. Like, even him being recorded, right? Like, the fact that he was the only concubine to be upgraded to senior chamberlain. But since they were, like, doing the names in a certain way, like, and you can't record women's names, then, like, we know that it's part of history, but history doesn't know his sacrifice.
Yeah.
And it's like, Chie is like, we promise that we're going to die together, and she gets to go first.
I was thinking about that, too. Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, you have to be the head of the Yoku and, like, take care of, like, these kids that were part of the reason why you didn't physically get back with Chie, because it broke your heart, and now you have to parent these children, and then the one person that you were closest to gets to do the exact position you always wanted. Like, that's a lot.
For someone who deserved every happiness and made it his life's purpose to give those around him, whether he cared about them or not, as much comfort and ease as possible, it just really, really sucks to not see him have a win.
Like, at all. It's so unfair.
Yeah.
The other Rocky Road that I have is about Sotaro. So Sotaro, at the sort of the beginning, not the first episode, but the beginning, he's like the peasant baby that Sato's family have, the farming family has. And so in this last episode, you see he's all grown up and he professionally sleeps with people in the village so that the village is populated.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of heartbreaking that that's how his life turned out. And then on top of it, then Sato, who had done, Sato made so many strides in that village, that farming village of, like, we gotta take over, we have to do this, we have to do that.
Uh-huh.
For her to basically die of tuberculosis, never having to have a child, never being able to be with her love, Sanpita, like, Jesus.
Yeah, that was my other Rocky Road, too. That really, really got to me. I felt so deeply for her, because similarly to Arikoto, she just wanted to do the best for everybody around her, and she didn't get to experience joy, like, even once.
It was so unfair, like, the whole time.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you have any more Rocky Road?
I do not.
Okay, let's move to Nuts. Do you have any?
My one Nuts point was the shock that came over me when I learned that two other men in the Uku took their lives to follow Chie. So they, like, secretly loved her or something. That was really shocking to me.
Yeah. I wonder if the two people that took their lives were the other people that she slept with.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because they, like, after she had the daughters with Gyokue and Onatsu, then they said that she slept with other people and had miscarriages, so I wonder if that was them, but
possibly.
Yeah, I thought that was nuts. I also put the fact that we find out that the narrator is Arikoto, like, old man Arikoto. Like, I was like, what? What?
Wait, I actually missed that. That is absolutely insane.
The narrator, the person that was doing all this exposition was Arikoto.
Oh my god.
I'm like, y'all are doing a lot. Y'all are doing a lot. First, it was the old man Oz being Kasuga's son, who's low-key a vampire. And then now this.
All right.
Wow. I was just like, y'all, okay. Okay, sure. But yeah, I guess that's really all I had for Nuts.
Okay.
So let's move into Hot Fudge.
My first one is just we've talked about the secret swain before.
Yeah, that was
so,
mine too.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we don't have to like go into detail, but just seeing it being fully instituted and like written in, you know. It's like, I thought Chie had some character development, but she's still like, I'll kill whoever I want because I feel sad. So that really sucks.
Yeah, like the way that I was hoping that the Secret Swain thing happened was that they just randomly decided that since she killed the first person she had sex with, well, technically the person that raped her.
Yeah.
But since she killed him, that it was just like, oh, then all of y'all must kill them. I didn't think that she would actually institute it so that that person would die for real. That's kind of like, it's for me, it was just like, this is why I could never fully like her.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah, like, I agree.
You think she's growing and then it's just like, no, I'm still an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was going to be instituted the same way, too, that other people saw that she did that. So it's like, oh, tradition, I guess. But no, it's worse than that.
No, she made that happen for real. And that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
You know what? That's also kind of messed up is that like Thyoku comes from whoever was there previously. So like, that's kind of nasty because think of it from Chio's point of view. Like, those people watched her grow up.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, can we, like, maybe don't, like, reveal her to the men of the Oku until she's adult.
She's grown.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, that made me severely uncomfortable. I'm like, oh.
Oh. Very, oh, God. Okay, yeah.
My next hot fudge was when they're talking about the famine or something. I'm sorry if I forgot the context completely, but they're like, old men became nothing but dead weight as we watch someone dump her father or grandfather in the woods to die. I'm pretty sure I got like actual knots in my stomach.
Oh my God, that broke me. Because he was calling her name.
I know. Oh my God. Yeah, that my heart.
And my thing is, couldn't you just have them technically watch over the kids at that point?
Right.
I don't know, like to either supervise or to do odd things around the house. Just leaving him there, that is so, oh my God.
Because I feel like they alluded to women going out and like the elderly, like men staying home when all they were in that like meeting about, you know, women doing more.
Yeah.
So why? Well, it's just like, I feel like this show just wants to make you uncomfortable, even if it doesn't have to.
Yeah. Like, the moral of this show is that life is unfair, even if the roles were reversed.
Yep. It's giving like the same message as Macbeth, which is life sucks and then you die. Like,
yeah, basically. And yeah, like thinking about it, because they left, like, so for me, I was just like, is that what's going to be Sotaro's fate?
Oh my God. If he makes it that far.
Them putting him out into the forest to die with all these kids in the village being his kids.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Those were the two hot fudges I have. Do you have another one?
Yeah, I got one more.
Okay.
Okay. I know you're going to be with me on this. This is I have like a little bit I wrote. And again, I guess because it's questions, it could be banana split, but I was mad. So it is hot fudge that it just fucking ends. The show just stops. The past that we've been watching this whole time is not ever tied into the present timeline where we learned that Yoshimune wants to eliminate the Oku. Nothing's done with that at all. There is no reaction from her to reading these journals. There's nothing from 90-year-old Masuke, who's been making these records forever. There is no extra input from anybody. There is no bow tied whatsoever. I am so mad at the end of watching this. Oh my God.
I mean, I told you, I was telling you last night, I felt so unsatisfied. Like, even if it's not a happy ending, you could still tie things up.
Exactly.
Life is unfair. That's it. That's it.
Right. Everything sucks. You don't get closure. And then everybody dies in a really sad, horrible way. Great. Awesome.
This was terrible. Like, Oh, it put a sour taste in my mouth, honestly.
Me too.
Yeah. But I guess that's hot fudge, so let's move into Ice Cream You Scream.
Okay. Can I just, like, piggyback off of that for my one Ice Cream You Scream?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I just want to file this entire show under Ice Cream You Scream for me. I've messaged Chika a few times, and I've, like, we've had guests, and I've been, like, really, really trying to be good about Uku, and I'm so, so sorry if you're an Uku fan. I love that for you. I am not. It is not for me. I couldn't even get closer at the end of this. I am just so happy I never have to watch this again.
Right. I think that, like, because I know that they have the manga. I don't know if Viz started doing reprints. We know their history with that. I mean, I know they're doing the reprints for Red River. Good for y'all. I already owned it. But still, like, I don't know if they did Oku reprints. And I think there's, like, 18 volumes. So, like, I'm sure that when it comes to the actual series, that maybe things were tied up better and that, you know, there was more to it and stuff. And I mean, even speaking with Colleen talked about how when they had a book club and they were talking about Oku in their book club, that a lot of people were providing this added context for the story, which I think is amazing. But at the same time, the story should be good enough that you don't have to do that. But yeah. Like, when it comes to being an anime only, this just kind of left me unsatisfied. So I would say, for me, it's a banana split. But, like, because of how unsatisfied I am, it's like banana split Ice Cream You Scream. Because I think that things should be tied up at the end. We don't know if we're going to get another season. And to be honest, the way that they did the animation, by the end of it, these people did not care, okay? That was one of my, like,
yeah.
Ice Cream You Scream.
Yeah.
You see these random, like, AI computerized bowing stuff. People don't have full out on faces.
Yeah.
And this is when Chio is supposed to walk. And I'm just like, this is so, like...
Yeah.
Netflix, I know that you'd said you were going to invest in anime, right? Like, that's your thing. But, like, screwing up Seven Seeds, screwing up Oku is not the way to go about putting your foot in the door for anime. That's not how you do it.
No.
Like, I don't know how you can put out My Happy Marriage and then you put this out.
Right, right. There was one, like, scene where I'm like, is that even Ari Kodo? Like, the way his face right. was drawn. I'm like, no, that is Ari Kodo, I think. Like, I don't know. I'm with you on that. The animation just got progressively worse.
Yeah. And then it's like, my ass started getting confused because I thought, okay, so I thought the scribe person was Kasuga's son, right? But then I thought one of the people that killed themselves was Kasuga's son.
Okay.
So then I was just like, Who? What is T?
Who and what?
What is going on? Like, it was just a lot. So yeah, so that was in my Ice Cream You Scream. And then the last bit I have is just, I mean, we already spoke about it, just Chie dying at 27.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to process.
All of that work, all of this development, and she's just gone.
Right. Right at the time when she really could be free without Casca controlling her every move.
Yeah. Like, she died younger than us. Like, that's so crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that is wild to think.
Yeah. But that's all I have. Do you have any more Ice Cream You Scream?
No, I'm all done.
Okay. Okay. Well, guys, we did it.
Yes. It's over.
The first time of us doing four episodes in one, and it actually flew by.
Yeah, we made great time.
We did. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to us go over our first Jose anime, Oku, The Inner Chambers. It was an experience.
Yes.
Fuck Kasuga.
Yes, ding dong, bitch.
For real, the bitch is dead. But yeah, I guess if you liked our coverage, or at least you liked the guests that we have on, because that was kind of iconic of us to have
yeah.
Colleen and Rachel. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
If you liked our guest and our commentary, please make sure to leave 5 stars on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, but primarily the first two because it helps us out so much. This was a very eventful series, so we hope you enjoyed it. And yeah, I guess we can move on to thanking our magnificent, amazing patrons, which with their help, like, you know, I'm just saying, the more patrons we have, the more likely we can be weekly and go over like these longer stories that y'all want us to talk about, you know, like Revolutionary Girl Utena, that has so many episodes. Or, you know, like if we're doing Hanayori Dango for Patreon, but there is an anime and that has a lot of episodes as well. Yes,
and I would love to watch it.
Yeah, so like, please, if you would like to get us to be weekly like we were in February, join our Patreon. Any tier helps.
Yes, it truly, truly does. And with that, let us thank all of our wonderful, magical patrons, starting with our Sprinkles tier. Big thank you to Pete, PJ, Miles, and Akemi. Moving on to our Whipped Cream tier, thank you so much to Mary and Mark M. And lastly, our spectacular Hot Fudge people, Mark D, Mackenzie, AJ, and Aaron. Thank you guys so, so much for being our patrons.
Yes, thank you. And I guess we will see you all next time for a movie.
Yes.
You can follow us on social media. We are Shoujo Sunday. That's Sunday, like the ice cream, Shoujo with a U, across all of the platforms, including Threads and Blue Sky. If you'd like to get at us individually, you can follow me. I'm Chica Supreme, and I am on Instagram, and I'm on Blue Sky and probably other places, but those two are the primary ones that I want to talk about. Gianna?
Hi, I am Gianna Luna. You can stream my debut single, Twilight Champagne, on any music platform, and you can follow me at Gianna_Luna_ on all socials. On Blue Sky, it's just Gianna Luna, no underscores, and that's Gianna with one N.
Yeah, I guess we'll see you next time for episode 60. So crazy.
60. Ooh, yes, we will see you then.
Yeah. Bye.